finally got my good friend Steven all the way from the Netherlands, I'm pretty sure, right? 95% good friends, I should know exactly where he's at, to come and give a talk about creating beautiful, stunning applications. You've already seen a lot of things, but this individual's, this man's libraries save my applications every single day, help them look absolutely stunning, and they can help yours. I'm really excited to hand it over to Steven to let him take it away with building beautiful, stunning applications for Xamarin Forms.
Thank you, James. Well, first of all, good morning, good afternoon, evening, wherever you're from. I hope you're having a great day so far. My name is Steven Tewisse, and for the next half hour or so, I'll be talking about building beautiful apps with Xamarin Forms. A small intro, I'm a mobile developer, obviously, from the Netherlands. I've been working with Xamarin for about 6-7 years now. I work for a creative digital agency named Thought Control. And if you want to find me somewhere on the internet, you can check out the social links that I put up on this sheet. And also my blog, which contains a lot of Xamarin-based posts. And I want to prefix this talk with saying that I'm not a designer. I was in school to be one. I'm just a developer who has an affiliation with visual things. So looking at this title of this talk, I want to highlight two small things here. First of all, beautiful apps, because if you think about it for a second, what actually makes an app beautiful? And you might be thinking of specific elements like gradients or maybe a shadow, something like that. But all of those on itself are not guaranteed to make your app beautiful. So truth is, this term beautiful is a very subjective one. An app that I find beautiful might not be one that you like. So there is no definitive answer to this question. If you look at this screenshot that I put up here, it's an app from quite a while away in time. I think it's somewhere in 2010, back when Apple was still doing skeuomorphism. And you really can't imagine an app looking like that anymore these days, because it's dated, obviously. This is not the design trend anymore. We've moved on. We've left this one behind. And we're now doing flat design, I think, still. So what makes an app beautiful is also very sensitive to how trend works. And if we look at, for example, an app that some of you might know, 9to5Mac did a nice article a few years ago about 10 years of design evolution. So they highlighted a few different apps that most of you will know, and just looked at the evolution of those apps visually. And I think it gives you a nice idea of all the different trends that we've gone through. So for example, this one, it starts off way back when on early iPhones, with just basically a table view, nothing too fancy. We move on into tiles with very good-looking gradients at the time, and we see that the Yelp logo makes an appearance in the navigation bar and is, for some reason, subsequently removed again. If we look at some more recent samples of that app, it goes back to a list again, this time with icons in front of it. We also see images making an appearance, which is probably due to technical improvements in data, like, for example, 4G. And near the end, we see tiles are back again for some reason, this time around with better looking icons. And we also see the logo is back. So it has a few iterations where things are going back and forth between we need this or we need that. And I think you can conclude pretty much that designers are just fickle beasts, and they're just flowing with the trend and what's hip and happening in the world of app design. So why is it that we can spot such a dated design so easily? I think it's mainly due to app developers and their designers tweaking apps regularly. So if you don't look at your phone for a week, the update bubble on your App Store icon is probably saying something like 30 or 40 maybe. So they're constantly pushing updates and conditioning your perception of what is beautiful. And then that way they can kind of go with the trend a little bit easier. Or sometimes they just throw in a bigger overhaul and just overhaul the entire app in one go. We all get mad. We make a post around on Twitter, and well, that's it because they're not going to change it anyway, and we'll have to live with it. So I think one can safely say that designers keep us busy. And in the end, the design can be very beautiful, but if the app doesn't do what it's supposed to do, it doesn't really matter. So it doesn't really fix a lack of substance or functionality in the app. In the end, it's just there to make it look good and improve your experience as a user, basically. So a great developer also doesn't make a great designer. I think most developers wouldn't even want to try and design an app. We just smack some basic labels on there and call it a day. It's good enough as it is. But designers don't think that way. They have a completely different mindset, and I think it's really a specialized craft, obviously. So it's always a bit of a balancing act to find the middle ground between how much time does it cost me to build it, and how good can we make it look within the time that we have. So the second part I want to highlight is Xamarin Forms, because it kind of has a bit of an image problem. Way back when it was released, somewhere in, I think, 2014, it was really marketed as, sorry, as just suitable for simple data entry apps. It really was pretty basic back in the day. So a lot of the current crop of controls didn't exist yet. And it really was the most sensible way to market it at the time. And the thing is, though, that things change, obviously. It's been 6, 7 years. So people who were around way back then, or maybe even a year ago, haven't been around to notice all the good improvements that have happened. And I think there definitely have been improvements that make it very possible to make good-looking apps with Xamarin Forms. So a lot of stuff was added, and I think also there's a small shift in design focus where people wanted to have apps look native to the platform, and now we've kind of moved over into where apps need to look the same on both platforms. And I think that's also where Xamarin Forms can shine. And in the end, I think it's inherently human to be more interested in shiny new things. So even though the team might have been hard at work, changing that initial opinion is kind of hard, and people rarely tend to revisit something once they've originally discarded it. And it might also have something to do with the association with the word forms, because obviously that kind of screams simple data entry apps. Or maybe you have different technologies with a similar name, like ASP.NET Web Forms or WinForms, that people have certain feelings for, be it positive or be it negative. So yeah, in the end, I think every UI has elements in it that you can use to make a beautiful UI in the end. So some of those I've listed here on the screen. And I already mentioned that it's a specialized craft, obviously. So if you as a developer want to embark on this journey of making something look really nice and awesome, I think these are some of the things that you need to look into. You need to start somewhere. So let's take a look. First of all, obviously, everybody needs this in their life, gradients, because it's the most essential tool in your toolbox. And I think you'd be pretty hard-pressed to find a modern app that doesn't have some sort of a gradient in it, be it a fancy rainbow or just a simple two-tone gradient. I think it's very hard to find one that doesn't have one. And there are multiple solutions out there to get your gradients. Obviously, Skia Sharp, which is a cross-platform drawing library. Magic Gradients, which is all the way from Poland. That goes very deep into the gradient world. They even let you style them using CSS. PancakeView, which I pretty much built to fix my own gradient problems. And the one I'm most excited about is the built-in ones. I think David mentioned them earlier already. I'm not sure. But they're coming. They're being built. And I think it's great to have built-in support for that. Looking at shadows, these are a bit more functional in nature because they are, in the end, important visual cues for your users. So they help your brain decide what is it that I'm looking at. Can I click this? Because it makes things pop off the page. So it immediately gives you the idea that you can interact with that. And that's a principle that's been around for a while, as you can see by the screenshot that I put into this slide. Even way back then, the shadows are being used to contrast the buttons with the background, which also gives it this form of hierarchy in 3D space. So, in the end, layered on top of one another, all of these elements might not stand out as much if you don't give them either a shadow or a highlight or something like that. And I think this is also a principle that's used a lot on Android. So if you want to build shadows currently on Xamarin Forms, you have pretty much complete freedom on iOS. I think you can do pretty much everything from shadow colors to direction, blur, all that good stuff. Problem is, on Android, you don't have that much creativity to go by. So what happens on Android, if you look at an app, and this is a side view, which is kind of odd for something that's in your phone, but still, your app consists of different layers, and they are all lit due to or by two lights in Android, which have a fixed position. You can't really change that much about them. So all of these different layers in your app cast a certain shadow based on those two lights. I think they added shadow color in a fairly recent version, but you can't really influence it that much. The only thing you can do is influence an element's position in the Z-axis, so up or down, which means that it casts a bigger or a smaller shadow using elevation. So if you want to match a shadow on both platforms or multiple platforms, you need to get a bit creative. So either using Skia Sharp, or maybe you could fake it by using an image, or you could just accept the fact that your app will look a bit different on both platforms. And in the end, your designer is probably not going to like that last option, but it's an option. So, looking at what I think is the most important part of each app, identity-wise at least, it's typography and colors and icon usage. So, most companies have their own little style guide of how their brand looks and what colors to use, what fonts to use, and that's mostly pointed at stationery or maybe a web identity or something like that. So it means that it doesn't always translate nicely into an app. So, for example, also if they use a font which has a specific license, it might even incur additional costs if you want to use that font in your app. So, luckily for us, there are a few free options available. So, we have Google Fonts, which is probably well known throughout, which has a huge library of free fonts for you to use. And I think on the icon side, Font Awesome is probably one of the most known ones, but there are others out there. And if you're one of those people that tends to struggle with these type of things, you can also generate this stuff. So, for example, if you need a color palette, there are people that have made generators that just let you input one or multiple colors, or maybe not even a color at all. And they just generate a set of five different colors for you to use that go well together. Same goes for font matching. So if you have a specific font in mind, there are some generators out there that help you find fonts that go well with that one. So that's all out there, and I have a few links to those near the end of this presentation. If you want to look at movement, obviously, also very important because it spruces up your app quite a bit. So, for example, micro animations, They have they're basically just small functional animations that you see on the left side here that support the user by giving them some sort of visual feedback to display changes to your interface more clearly. A good sample is, for example, a shopping cart. If you add an item to it, just animate it that it shakes a little bit, or maybe you've seen instances where an image of the product is physically moved into the shopping basket by using an animation. And those are all micro animations that kind of help the user in giving them some visual feedback. Another simpler form of micro animation is if you need to show a certain panel, you can either display it immediately, so it immediately pops up into screen, or you can slide it in from the side, which gives it that much more feeling of what that it's an actual element that's coming from somewhere and not just randomly spawning in front of you. So if you want to do some of this stuff, maybe even want to dive into more heavy animations like the one shown here. For micro animations, you could use something like Lottie. And I think David also already mentioned earlier today the actual built-in Xamarin animation framework, which is pretty extensive. You can do a lot of cool stuff with that. Javier, who you've heard talk earlier today, also has a nice package called Xam Animation, which you can also leverage to do all sorts of crazy animation stuff. And I think if you really want to be the cool kid in class, you can use these shared transitions that you see happening here as well. So, for example, on this sample, the moment where that bag of spaghettis or whatever it is becomes bigger and transitions into the next detail page, that's all done through something like a shared transitions plugin. So it's also all available on Xamarin Forms for you to leverage. So far, I've pretty much spent most of my time just babbling about fancy visuals, but not everything in a beautiful design is just a fancy visual. There's a lot of other stuff that go into making one. So, for example, user experience, obviously. How does a user navigate through their app? The distance your thumb needs to travel to get to certain elements. And also in the sense of consistency. So if we name something store in one location and we name that same kind of behavior save in the other, that kind of isn't really consistent. So also very important, copywriting. We need to make it clear what the context of what a user is about to do is and what he can expect. So also the intent of actions is very important to really make that shine through in your copywriting. Performance as well. If you have a big animation doing all sorts of fancy visual things, as soon as that animation starts to be laggy by just a few milliseconds, it's easily noticeable as a human being. And it starts to annoy you more than that it impresses you. So that's also definitely we need to keep that into account. We also have accessibility. Obviously, not everyone is created equal. We have people with visual disabilities, cognitive ones, and it really means you have to look at the crowd that is going to use your app. You can do that through analytics, maybe, or other kinds of user research things. But especially if it's a public-facing app, then, well, you get the entire spectrum of humanity possibly using your app. So you need to take that into account. So if you really want to get started on making one of these UIs or making beautiful UIs, there's not a whole lot of tips to give because, well, there is no school of implementing good UI. Obviously, you have designers who can make something cool, but you as a developer, it's in the end, it's just technology. So you need to be able to put that design into code. So I think the first place to actually start is to really get used to using styles, which you can pretty much compare to a CSS file on the web, but then in XAML. So every button in the app gets a specific style implicitly by one of these styles. So this one, for example, gets a certain text color, gets a certain corner radius, font family, all that good stuff. And that's all coming from that one style, and it's applied to every button in the entire app. So what I usually tend to do is split that all up into different files. So all my buttons, all my colors, all my different typographies, so headers and body text, all that good stuff, and all my icons as well into a separate folder or separate file actually, and then in the end, merge those all together into one big dictionary, so everything comes together basically at this point, and that's your style guide. And what I also like to do myself is in your app, make a separate page where you list out all of the elements that you have and all the different styles. So it's kind of like an in-app style guide, basically. So all the buttons, all the different headings, they're all there for you to look at and tweak to your liking. And you can put that behind a debug flag or something like that. So it's not directly available to your end user eventually. So what I also think is a good exercise to just get started with this kind of stuff is to find something cool online, be it through Dribbble or be it through an app that you already have on your phone, and just challenge yourself to build it. Make that same thing, but use Xamarin Forms to achieve it. I think you learn a lot of things along the way on how you can do things better in the future. And I think it's really a very nice exercise to do. And the community has been doing this for a while, and I have a few samples of that later. But yeah, I'd just say do it. If you are going to do it, then it's probably important to get a feeling for how to dissect a design into usable components. So first of all, obviously, you need to split it into different parts, because you can't make the entire thing from the get-go. So make it into smaller pieces that you can actually build, combine those in the end. And if you see stuff that's going to be reused throughout your app, just abstract it away into a separate component and start by applying some bindings to that and make it something that can actually be reused. So you only have to manage that one component in a central location. And also very important is just to know what kind of controls you have at your disposal. So for example, in Xamarin Forms, you have stack layout, a grid, a scroll view. All these things have different behavior and they do different things. And you need to know how you can leverage those to eventually make that design that you're making. So I've showed this app earlier on in this presentation around the animation part. So I wanted to use that as a sample of how to dissect this whole thing. So we actually built it as well. I put the link to the GitHub down there. So let's take a look here, because what we have here is basically two separate pages, one being a list view. That has some sort of swipeable panel at the bottom that expands to the full height. And then we have a detail page for each item. So if we look at this starting page here, it's if you want to separate that up, what I did in the end is go with a grid, which has two rows, which both have their height set to auto. And that immediately raises some questions on multiple levels, probably, because setting height auto is actually something you kind of want to avoid, because it takes a bigger performance impact than setting just star or a fixed height. And why I ended up doing it like this here is because in the end, what you want to do is you want to animate those two parts of the app. So the bottom part slides up, the upper part becomes smaller and shrinks, but you can't animate row definition heights or widths for columns. So what I ended up doing is making two rows, setting both to auto and sizing the actual control that's within that row, which is what happens here. So in the top part, basically it's another grid with one fixed height row and the other one takes up all the full remaining height. I wrap that into a different control, which allows us to do rounded corners. So for example, a frame would work, pancake view would work, and that's just to get that little black background to shine through near the bottom. So it kind of gives it that layered feel of the shopping basket being an element that's underneath the rest of it. If we look at the details, it's pretty much a collection view. People have talked about it earlier today already. It's set to repeat vertically. It spans two columns. Those are all just things you can set on the collection view as is. And within each item, there's a pancake view, or once more, a frame, something that does rounded corners to give it that little card-like appearance. And within that, it's a stack layout to stack all the fields and the image on top of one another. So if we look at the actual card, pretty much the same thing. It's a grid with a few rows, a collection view, and in that collection view, you also see a delivery price and a total price. And those two are pretty much just elements that you can put into the footer row of each collection view, because that's where you have access to all that grouped data. And if you want to use the actual or make the actual animation, you can use swipe gestures. So you can handle the up and the down swipe and change all the heights of each element individually in there. Looking at this part, which is kind of the tricky part, you could say. So what we have here is on the left side, we have a cart that is horizontally oriented. And on the right side, all of a sudden, it's vertically oriented. So you could do all sorts of crazy work, making the different translations of items to different locations or positions on screen, changing heights, all that good stuff. Or you could simply fake it by adding a second cart in there and just showing one or the other when the thing is expanded or collapsed. So a lot of this UI stuff means you can also fake things to make it look the way you want it to look. The details page, it's not that fancy. It's just a basic grid. It has one little fancy thing, maybe, which is just a little fade over on the text. And that can be done by just adding an image on top of it. If you bake the gradient from transparent to white into an image, overlay that, you would be fine. So looking at this demo, obviously we built this as well. And this is how it looks like. It behaves exactly as you would expect it to. So all the sliding and collapsing works. Also clicking different items. It has that transition where you see the picture becoming bigger into the details view. So looking at some of those small things that I haven't highlighted yet, we see here the app.xaml file, which I put pretty much everything in. I talked about separating this out into different files, but for the sake of demo, I put it all together in this one. So all the colors, all the fonts, all the different generic styling. So each label looks like this. Each button has certain properties to it. And then we end up with the specific styles, which you can apply explicitly on certain labels or buttons or other components. Looking at the main page, you can see what I mentioned, the two rows both set to auto. The grid row one has no height, and the second one does have a height, so that's the initial state where the shopping basket is collapsed. And in code behind, looking at this, we have two gesture recognizers that handle that swipe up and that swipe down motion. If we look at what code is in that, it's not really that much to change all the height, because basically what we're doing is just animate three different elements and change their height. And all of the other stuff is basically hiding other elements that we don't need at that point. So looking at the sample again, for example, this local delicacies header with the little icon here, we don't need that when it's expanded, so we just fade those out and they're not there anymore. The swipe down is pretty much the opposite of this, so that's not that important. Looking at the actual transition of that image becoming bigger into the detail page, I already mentioned I used a separate NuGet package for that, which is shared transitions. They are located in here. So this is the image in our list page, and that has two separate properties to it. So the name, which is just a unique identifier for that animation, and a group, which tells it that this item is something that's in a collection of items. So a list view, a collection view, if you have individual items, you need to give it a certain group so it knows this is the item that I'm supposed to use to animate. I'm binding this here to a name, but you're probably better off binding this to an ID, but I don't have that in my data set. Looking at the details page, we see here another grid with just some different definitions in row and columns and all of the items. And we see here that the image says the same thing for the transition name. So that way it knows that this animation needs to go to this image in the details page. And the only thing that's missing here now is which item I'm supposed to move to that detail page. And that is done all the way down here when you actually click on an item. When you do the transition and load the new page through your navigation, you need to set right in front of actually pushing that new page onto the view, you need to set which item we're supposed to transition into, which is done here through just setting that same name that we bound in the XAML file as well. So that pretty much sums up that demo. Code for that is available on my GitHub. I've already mentioned that. And I think I put this together in half a day, maybe. And it's definitely not entirely polished, but it does show that you can make cool stuff in reasonable time frame. So if my demo didn't convince you, like I said, there's a active movement in the community to create cool apps. I'll show just a few of those to convince you. So we have this one by this very happy man. Talking about the weather currently in Seattle. You can't go outside anyway, so just admire the weather from your window and stay inside. What you could do while staying inside is looking at these beautiful pieces of art that Kim helps create, so both the app and the content of this app. You could go on a cruise, but I would highly advise against that. Either way, Andreas made a very nice app that shows you how you could go about making an app for booking cruises. If you are starving, Leah Maris has you covered because she made a very nice looking food app to help you order takeaway. And if at some point this whole Corona stuff is over and you want to start visiting cool spots in the world again, then Lorenzo has made a very nice looking app to do just that. And in the end, it all comes down, I've said it a few times, if you can't make it, just fake it. Because not everything needs to be built in the way that your eye perceives that it should be done. Like, for example, those headers in the shopping cart, you could go through all the trouble of transitioning and animating that, but just swapping in two different views might be just as might work just as well. So if we can fake some of these visual effects and achieve the same result, that's fine. And if you can't fake it, then probably what you have going on is something that Xamarin Forms doesn't support yet. And also there, obviously, you can help. Xamarin Forms is open source, so if you want to take a look at some of the cool stuff on the UI world that's being done right there for gradients and shadows and shapes and transitions, that's all publicly available. You can chime in with your opinion, or maybe you want to help actually build it. So just go there on their GitHub. It's all there. Have a good look and let's make some cool apps. So I hope this talk kind of gave you a good impression of what you can do today using Xamarin Forms. And I also hope it inspires you to create some really cool looking apps. So just before I leave you, I want to share this one last sheet or slide with you, which sums up all the NuGet packages that I've mentioned. If you really are desperate for design inspiration, there's a few different places you can go. I think David already mentioned Kim Philpott's snippets and also Javier's list of curated good-looking Xamarin apps. Some of the generators that I mentioned and also essential tools, XAML Hot Reload. I think without it, iterating on UI is just close to impossible. And also AmFractor is a really helpful, unmissable tool to get your productivity up. So with that, I want to thank you for listening. And if there are any questions, I'll be happy to take them.
Thank you so much, Stephen. I love just all the beautiful things that I know I myself can't make, basically. But now I think I can a little bit. I'm actually working on it. I like all the tips. And I love that, hey, one of my apps was featured. So I love that. I want to say, though, we got a lot of good questions coming in. So we got about 4 minutes left. So we're going to head over. First, we have Alex, who wrote in, not such a question, but more of a comment. He says, sorry, James, David, and Maddie, but the current session by Stephen is the best .NET conference session so far. I have to agree.
Oh,
It's
thank you.
absolutely awesome to see not only the great things that you're doing, but all how everyone's building it.
Thank you.
Tobias asks, because how do you decide between using Xamarin Forms or using like a traditional storyboard or Android XML when you need to do UI work like this?
Well, it kind of depends. In my case, I usually tend to go with Xamarin Forms, mainly because I'm usually working for people that actually want an app on both platforms. And it would just cost way more in the end if it's if it it depends, obviously. If it's a simple animation or a simple thing that we need to build, Xamarin Forms is definitely the way to go, but also for complexer stuff. But it in our case, we are all Xamarin Forms developers, so we don't really have very intimate Android and iOS specific knowledge. So it kind of also depends on the composition of your team, I guess.
Gotcha. That makes sense, especially if you're coming from a, I guess, traditional iOS or Android stack, you might be more comfortable using some of that UI.
Yeah, and you have it available to you because, well, in the end, you can just always go the custom renderer route or custom control and all that kind of stuff. So you can drop down just that one level to native
Got
if
it.
you need to.
All right, we have another question here from Bala, who asks, Stephen, can we move all of the code behind that you showed to XAML? If not, what can only be handled in the code behind? It's a good question. I
That is a
recently
good question.
did a whole
Yes.
podcast on this.
I think the XAM animation package that I mentioned uses a lot of behavior kind of stuff to do all these translations and some of these animations. So you could look into making it actually behaviors instead of code behind. Obviously, those behaviors would need to be coded, but I think it could work.
All right, cool. Yeah, I agree that sometimes you just got to write a little bit of code behind, right? That happens.
It happens, yeah. And especially if it's just visual code, so stuff that happens on the UI, it doesn't need view models or anything like that. I think you're perfectly fine putting it in the backing code of the XAML page.
Makes sense if it's like an interaction with the UI. Got it. Here's a good one from Greg L. This one is about accessibility. So he says he's loving these micro animations. They look fantastic. He's like, are they ADA compliant? So, you know, like A11, Y, accessibility wise. I guess that would be any application, not just a Xamarin app, but traditional iOS, Android, anything. Like when it comes to animations, if you know anything about the accessibility part there?
I personally am not a big source of knowledge on accessibility, but I do know that, for example, the designer that I work with in our company, he really does design things also with accessibility in mind. So modern design tools like Figma, for example, they all have these different modes, for example, different colorblind types, and you just see your entire mockup immediately as someone who has a certain type of color blindness. So I also think it's a somewhat of a design decision in or a task that falls to a designer more so than a developer, especially when it comes to colors and visual disabilities, obviously. But if you look at code, things like text to speech and that kind of stuff, that's obviously things we have as developers can add. But it also depends on whether or not your client wants to add it, I guess, if he wants to allocate budget for it.
Gotcha. That makes sense. Now, I have a last one here for you before we head over to the next session with Rodney. It's from our good friend Hector on Twitter. Says, best Xamarin UI UX talk I've seen in a long time from Steven. Great work and all the emojis. Thank you so much. And Steven, thank you so much
Emojis.
for this amazing session. And of course, all these sessions are recorded and will be on demand. Thank you, Steven, so much. Have a good one.
Yes, thank you.
All right, we're head back over to Olio right now for the next session.